Aloha.
Aloha.
Oh, come on. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. O Abel Kelly, o ke kai orbistando, ka'u inua. My name is Abel Orbistando. I am from the island of Oahu. Oahu built through and through. My wife really loves to say I'm the city boy. Sure, whatever. Oahu is pretty city-like anyways. But I was born and raised there to two amazing parents. But before I even bring that picture up, my sermon for all of you guys note takers, writers, today, it's called The Holy Spirit Inspires. The Holy Spirit Inspires, because what we're doing with Pastor Mike of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, we're asking that question. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does he do in our lives? And so my sermon title is The Holy Spirit Inspires. But in my next slide, just to show you a little bit of who I am, I'm from the island of Oahu. If you don't know what island that is, it looks like that. And if you look right in the middle of the island, there's a city right in the middle of the island called Waihewa. And that's where I was born and raised. Exit 8, love it. We'll always love that place, but it gets too crowded there. But right there, I have my beautiful wife, Rachel, and my two lovely kids, Kayliana and Kekoa. If you don't know who Rachel is, she is the children's pastor back there. And she keeps me in line. Let's just be real. And on the top right or left, we went to Arizona, and I got to see my nephew who graduated, and that is kind of like our family who showed up on that day for my side of the family. And it was beautiful because in this graduation time, I was able to listen to stories. So my uncle Randy, I think it's on the far right-hand side, he's the guy holding that, looks like some sort of something in his hand, and he's giving a shaka. But Uncle Randy, love him. And when you get my uncle or some sort of family member with my mom, they start to talk up stories. They start to talk about things, and it's lovely getting to hear the stories that come out. The stories that come out. The stories that I get to hear. And in Hawaii, we like to call that story time. So I love just sitting down and hear them talk story, chatting about life, chatting about the world, chatting about how they used to live and what grandma and grandpa used to do and all of these fun things. And I'm listening to some of these stories and I'm like, this is hilarious. Some of the things my mom did, I'm like, whoa, crazy. Some of the things that I hear my uncle did, I was like, dang, that's even more crazy. That's cool. Crazy, scary, whatever. But it was cool hearing story time. We like to talk story. And so here, Ohana, my church, Ohana, I want to just talk story with you. If you've been looking and seeing, there's this common theme that whenever Pastor Mike brings up, I like to bring up about stories, talking stories, sharing stories, interacting in stories. Why? Because we recognize in the scriptures that that's what Jesus did. He talked stories. He had a parable. He talked about things. And so my church, Ohana, we have been exploring together as a church family. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does he do? And we heard from Pastor Mike and Pastor Molly exploring many things. And today you might recognize some of the things that I'm going to talk today as being something that just compounds on it. Maybe it's something that you're like, oh, I heard Pastor Mike or Molly talked about it. And so I'm hoping that it might, you know, jog your memory, maybe even challenge you, even grow you, or make you go. And the question that I would like to ask you is this. Why do we even have a story? Why do we even have a story? Why do we have a testimony? Why do we even have a testimony? Why do we have it? And is it just meant for you, for us? From all the good and bad, memorable to unmemorable, the life lessons we acquire, from all the experiences we absorb through grade school, middle school, high school, trade school, or college, childhood to adulthood, life lessons we learned from the different churches we attended or different churches we served in, to our first or second or third or, dare I say, fourth jobs or relationships, to people we have met, cultures that we have experienced, to friendships we have formed, and the parenting that we have displayed, we all have a story. But not everyone's story transitions into a testimony. And not everyone's testimony is heard and known by any generations. So the question is, why do we have a testimony? And is it just meant for you? Why did I go through what I went through? Why did I experience what I've experienced? Is my experiences in life just meant for Abel and Abel alone? The breakthroughs that God has done in my life, the failures that I experienced, is it just for Abel? Just to keep quiet? Are my life lessons and experiences and success and failures to hoard to myself? If me, a Christian, does not allow the Holy Spirit to connect the dots in my life to form my testimony of what Jesus has done in my life and learn to share it, then the enemy of my life has successfully, at this time, silenced my voice and my testimony from being known and heard. How many testimonies has not been heard? How many stories has not been known? How many talents and minas been buried? For the sake of saving face in society, or even in your family, or even in a culture, to not offend, we keep our mouths silent. St. Bernard says it this way: the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, I don't want to offend my family member, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I don't want to say something to a student because they might not understand. How much wisdom, knowledge, life lessons has died with Christians throughout the years? How many believers decided to bite their tongues, to be silent in their faith, to not pass on the wisdom and knowledge of God through their testimony? Who decided to think that it is the pastor's job, it is the evangelist's job, the worship pastor's job, the children's pastor's job? Passing on their responsibility to someone else. To pass on their lessons and their testimonies, hoping that somebody else will teach it. Burying their talents and their minas, for the enemy would love to silence the Christian and their voices. To make Christians think that they can pass on the responsibilities of sharing their testimonies for somebody else. For the enemies of our life, or at least for my life, would want me to be silent, to be quiet, to not share with the next generation. The life lessons I have acquired, I have learned to be intimidated, to not form a relationship to create bridges or communication to one another. Imagine if the youth pastor felt that way. And to be honest, I feel and observe that the enemy has done a magnificent job in breaking communication between generations in church and in society. No wonder why what I'm seeing in YouTube or in X or anything else, whatever social media platform you will watch at, no wonder why what I'm seeing in culture for young people are being perpetuated in the Western society. No wonder why the disconnect or the gap of communication gets bigger and bigger. The disconnect between generations and generations. No wonder why culture is changing and generations are becoming silent between each other. And judgment and shame is becoming more rampant. More judgment between generation of, why are you doing that? They're so, why, oh my goodness, if I, my generation wouldn't do that. C.S. Lewis, in the book, The Screwtape Letters, says it this way: it is funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. This story, if you never read The Screwtape Letters, is basically talking about a senior demon talking to a younger demon and teaching the younger demon how to manipulate or affect the people of the physical world. And he teaches this young demon saying, hey, The best way is keep ideas out. They think that we're messing with their ideas. No, let's just keep it out so they don't even think about it. So they don't feel it. The enemy of our life sometimes will block it out so we won't even think. Won't even process it. The enemy does not want us to think, to pass on, to transition my story and my faith to the next generations. The enemy of my life would not want me to think of my story, would not want me to share or find the urgency to share my story, to make me feel that it is not worth anyone's time. The enemy would want me to believe that my testimony of what God did in my life is not important, not worth hearing, not worth sharing, not meaningful, that the other generations don't want to hear it. But if I do not share my testimony and disciple the younger generations through my testimony, then someone or something else will. Something else will. Something else will fill the gap in the hearts of young and younger kids, younger youths, and also maybe the older. Something else will inspire their hearts, mind, and souls. Something else will grab their attention. Hillel, I think that's how you say it, first century Jewish scholar says this: if not you, then who? If not now, when? We who are Christians have experienced breakthrough in Jesus, breakthrough in what he has done, giving us freedom, liberation, that the Holy Spirit has actively freed us from, like the Israelites from the Old Testament leaving Egypt, and them noticing the importance of that and writing it down. So that past generation, future generations, can know what God did in their life. How important that is. Like the Israelites from the Old Testament leaving Egypt, like the Israelites who chose to preserve with the Tanakh or the Hebrew Bible of the first 24 books of the Old Testament, so the generations may know their failures and their successes. We, the believers, have experienced the freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not meant to be hoarded, buried away, hidden from the world, not known to anyone. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15 says this: neither do people light up a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. Our testimony is meant to be known, not hidden away, not buried away, so that generations can't know what you experience. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's difficult. You don't want your kids or other people to find out your failures. But in those failures, there could be life for another generation. So that we don't have to experience the same pitfalls. If you think that we're going to avoid everything without your knowledge of what your life lessons, what I have been learning working with youth, it is so much easier if we're able to share to these youth the pitfalls and tell them, hey, this is what's going to happen if you keep going down that direction. Well, how do you know? Well, I've been through it. Well, how do you know? Well, there's another brother in our church that been through that. And I wouldn't have known that if someone didn't say it, spoke about it, talk about it, shared it. And if we do not share our testimony and intentionally invest in the next generation through our testimonies, we can end up like the Israelites who forgot God. Judges 2, verse 10 through 11 says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he has done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, served the Baals. George Santayana says this: those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We as believers need to learn and be confident in the testimony God has given us, and multiply it, share it, talk about it, to pass it on through the generations. Like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. It is imperative for believers to share, to talk, to be known through their testimony. What happens when we share our testimonies? And what happens when we choose to hoard our testimony? Luke chapter 19, verse 12 through 26. This is my big bulk of the scriptures, because I'm hoping that you will start to see what happens when we actually share our testimony and what happens when we hoard our testimony. What happens if we hide our testimony? Some of you guys know what the scripture is. Luke chapter 19, 12 through 26. We have longtime believers in this room. We all know what the parable of the minas. But I'm going to still read it for all of us who don't know about it, who have never heard of it today. And it says this. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want you, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. When he sent for the servant to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it, the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on a deposit, so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. In this parable, the master gave 10 servants to 10 servants and 10 minas. I like that because it reveals that everyone gets a story. Everyone has a story. Everyone has something. God gives us something. As we grow, as we learn, as we move, our story grows, gets bigger. And regardless if you like him or not, or you like your story or not, you have it. You have purpose for it if you want to take it, if you want to use your story. We see a lot of people using their stories on social media, sharing it with the world of what they were once like and what they're doing now. Using it either for profit or to become national speakers or motivated speakers. They are using their story for something. They're using their story for something. But like all stories, not all are testimonies. Matthew 22, verse 14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. For all the difference between the story and a testimony is the focus. Most life stories focuses on the person. But a testimony focuses on Jesus. It is like an app on your phone. When you click on the app, it's like an icon. You click on the icon and it takes you to the website or the operation. When people click on you, where does it go? Does it go to yourself? Look at me, what I did. I broke through. I got through. I got the money. I got the fame. I got the houses, the stuff, the materialism. Or does it, when you clicked on you, does it actually go, look what Jesus did. Look how he saved my family. Look how he transformed my life. A testimony and a story are two different things. The testimony focuses on Christ. Story focuses on yourself. It is like an icon that is in an app. What you press on. In a sense, Christians who continue to grow their testimony and share it are like the servants who added or doubled their mina. They took and prioritized the kingdom business by sharing their testimony with people, and by their faithfulness, they were entrusted with more. But it happened to the one who decided to return the mina back to the king. He thought he was going to be rewarded. He's like, hey, man, they got some cool stuff. Hey, bro, I brought back what you gave me. What are you going to give me now? And in return, he got judged by the king. How many of us are bearing our story or our testimony? How many of us have not shared our testimony, not talked about it? Give you an example, because I'm a youth pastor. I like visual aids. I'm not Pastor Mike. I don't know how to do videos up there. So I'm going to do a visual aid. So I have three empty jars, one random one, and a jar full of these cool things I found upstairs. But I like to think of it this way. Everyone has a story. Everyone has something. God has given us something, a story. But when we say yes to Jesus Christ, that story should transition into a testimony of what God has done in our life, through our life, and everything of it. And the beautiful part is that when we're sharing, God is moving into our lives, moving through, we're able to pass that story on, talking about it in the highways, in the byways, and moving around. And when we're sharing it, we're passing it on to other people. And you know what the beautiful part is when those people become followers of Jesus Christ, the Lord starts to pour into their life. But not only that, he focuses also with us, pouring into us, allowing us to have more experience in different stories, connecting with new people, so that when we hear a story, when we hear the Holy Spirit talking in our life, that testimony going, ah, I understand that. I've been through that. That person's struggling in that. Hey, listen to this, what God has done in my life. Pouring it into others. And you know the funny part is when we struggle, when we are struggling, they're like, ah, man, I'm struggling today. And we all know, life comes back at us. When we start to pour into other people, you know what the crazy part is? If filled by the Holy Spirit, they come back. And they start encouraging us right back. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He continues to give. He continues to move. But maybe, just maybe, and this is the crazy part, because I'm talking about testimonies. In 2013, I graduated from Corbin University. And like every college graduate so far, I came out with debt. I came out with a lot of debt. I was one of those students that were like, I don't even want to think about it right now. And I just buried it, like acting like it was going to be gone. Graduation day came forward, and then all of a sudden, boom, like a floodgate, piles of debt started coming up. Phone calls. I was like, man, these people really love me. They keep checking up. They're making sure I'm alive. My parents don't even call me this much. And so they start calling, and I'm feeling overwhelmed, drowned, to the part where I feel like I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, you know, my friends, I started to hang out with these guys that were like, hey, what do you need prayer for? And the grace of God, they started to listen to what's going on in my life, and they start to pour back. What do you mean by pour back? They prayed. We read scripture. We ate together. They took me out and they were like, hey, Abel, let's go eat. And they'll take me out. And this is not just guys my age, but these are older men. These older men would take me out to Panera Bread, sit me down and just listen to my story. We would eat, we would pray. And I remember one day where one of the men was like, he takes me onto the side because we have some group, the group grew when we do Bible studies. It grew. And one of the guys took me on the side and he was like, hey, when we were praying, Abel, I feel like you're going to get married in 2017. You guys have this plan. The wedding is coming up. You know, I feel like the Lord is going to do something amazing. In my mind, I'm like, he's going to pay off all my loans. Yeah! Married day comes up. Nothing gets paid. And I'm like, dang. Well, I'm going to continue walking by faith. Continue working. Continue plowing. Continue doing the everyday life. Listening to the Holy Spirit, doing something. That next day, around that time, my parents sold the house. They gave me some money to help pay off the loans. But not all of the loans disappeared. I still have a lot more to go. But I continued to go. Another brother of mine came up, brother in Christ comes up, listens to my story, felt compelled, or not compelled, but felt moved in a sense. And out of his heart, he started to just bless me randomly. And I remember grabbing the money and I'm like, I open up the envelope. I'm like, bro, I don't want this. He looks at me and he's like, Abel, do you not know how to take a blessing? And I looked at him and I was like, another lesson that I had to learn. When the Lord wants to bless, let him bless. So I took that, saying thank you, not to him, but to my Heavenly Father. And my loans were being met. Fast forward, Rachel and I are married. We're continuing going. My sister then sold their house. Moved to Arizona, and they didn't need to give us anything. But by the grace of God, they said, hey, we feel like the Lord is telling us to do this, and bless the family with a certain amount of money of what they gave. And that also helped with lowering my private loans. These small things, these actions, you might be thinking, well, whatever, Abel, but this is my testimony, that if you are in debt right now, just continue being faithful. Paying your tithes, continue being faithful, doing the work, go to work, go to there, in your ins and outs, talk about it with people, share about what God is doing in your life, even the hard times when I felt like I couldn't pay my loans, and yet God provided, the times where, you know what, it feels like it's impossible, that is super far. Just recently, in April, my wife and I were able to pay off, and this is the crazy part. Not from somebody giving me money, but out of my own hard work, through the grace of God, by providing the job, by we faithfully continuing doing, God allowed me to pay off my student loans by my work, the work of my own job. Thank you. But the point is that through the Holy Spirit of motivating me, because I could have been like, I'm done. I can't pay for this. These loans are too high. This water is too deep. I want to end my life. There was a point in time where I was like, you know what? What's the point? But if men of God started to come into my life and say, Abel, hear my story. I was in debt. I've been through it. I survived it. There is something on the other side. I had men of God that came to my life and said, hey, hear my testimony, Abel. There's hope. There was people, one of my good friends, Taylor Wilkins, love you if you're watching, Mahalos, but him too. He was telling me, like, it was crazy because in his debt, he paid for it. We were all hanging out. He comes up and he's like, Abel, guess what? I paid off my loans. And a part of me is like, where's mine? But then the Holy Spirit quickened my heart and he was saying, rejoice. This is your friend. And it taught me how to rejoice with my friends. All of these things helps us to grow, to move, to show that the Holy Spirit is moving in us. And so while we are sharing with each other, it comes like iron sharpening iron. Holy Spirit continues to give us faithfully as we listen to the Holy Spirit, hear things. There has been multiple times, even at work, where I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. He brings in a coworker and we're talking about heavenly things. And you know the crazy part is, they're not believers. My hopes is that these seeds will grow into something to move and transition. But as you can see, sometimes some believers like to keep their testimony silent. Did you notice? I've been pouring into three ones. It makes me wonder how many Christians have kept their stories silent. How many have been burying their testimony, keeping what God has done in their life silent? And this is good for young people too. How many times have God moved in your life, but yet you said, I'm not going to say it to anyone. I'm going to keep it quiet. Keep it silent. A testimony is to help someone else. Your testimony is not meant just for you and you alone, but is meant for us. It is meant for the believer and for the non-believer. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. My main point for today is this. You have a testimony worth sharing. You have a testimony worth sharing. You have a testimony worth speaking upon. You have a testimony worth hearing. The Holy Spirit inspires us to share and grow our testimony. Our relationship with Jesus Christ should not be stagnant, but growing. Should not be silent, but spoken. The other day, I called my mom because I love my mom. Mom, if you're watching, love you. Dad, I know you're watching. Love you too. But my mom and I were talking. We're talking story. And we're talking about our adventure in Arizona, reminiscing, thinking about life. And I told my mom, you know what's crazy, Mom? Listening to your story, listening to the things you've been through, who would have known that, like, if you didn't tell me you struggled with alcohol or you struggled with partying or struggle this, I didn't know. But you telling me that, now I recognize where the battles come from in my life. And I started to talk to her and discuss. Mom, I wonder what would my life be like if you actually started to tell me your testimony of what God has done in your life. Would I have avoided some of the relational things? Because I recognize my family struggles in relationships. Just from dialoguing with her. Would I have been able to avoid some of the things that I fell through if my mom and dad started to talk about their testimony? And this is the part of the scripture that I want you guys to catch. Maybe this part in the parable, verse 23, Jesus is actually saying about depositing. Why didn't you deposit your faith? And it made me wonder, would the deposit mean family? If only you just shared your testimony to your family, that they may know what God has done in your life, what they've been through, what breakthroughs that happened in their life, what battles that they've been through. Would this generation would know, maybe I should avoid alcohol because of the fact that that captures my family's life, binds them, holds them down, turns them into something different than what I used to know. Or drug abuse. Oh, my family struggled in drugs. Maybe I should learn from that. Or even in relationships. Going to people thinking that they're the thing that will solve my problems. If I just knew about these things, what would happen? And it was so crazy because my mom was like, well, Abel, my parents never told me. My parents never talked to me about it. My parents never told me about their feelings and what's going on in their life. And I was like, well, this is why I'm asking you now. This is why I'm listening to your testimony now. And it makes me wonder about my children. How do I want to share the testimony that God has given me? How do I want to deposit this in my family's life? How do I want to put it? And as students, I encourage you right now, don't wait. Just like how we learn about finances, you don't want to wait until you're outside of college and then go, I want to start a savings account. Or wait and be like, after graduating college, now I'm going to figure out how to get experience under my belt. Starting to work now. Starting to do it now. And so this is the part that I want us to recognize, that our stories or our testimonies is worth sharing. Luke 12:12 says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Saying yes to Jesus also includes sharing your testimony with people, but equally depositing your faith into your family. You have a testimony worth sharing. You don't need to be platformed. You don't need to be famous. You don't need to be some, like, you don't need to be someone that's like, oh, wait, you know, I have to wait until Abel gives me the okay to talk to youth. I don't need to be a youth to share and come to a guy's Bible study and talk to older men about what God is doing in our life. Just being able to share our testimony is meaningful. It's purposeful. And so Matthew 5:15, again, I want to emphasize, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." The Holy Spirit will guide you to the right person at the right opportunities to share your testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for our life. The little yeses will become bigger yeses. When we say yes to Jesus, when we're listening to Him, when we're saying, oh man, I'm hearing this story. This person is going through the same thing. Let me show you what happens when you put Jesus into this story. Revelations 12:11 says it this way. Did you not know? They triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their, what? Their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They weren't afraid to talk about their testimony. They weren't afraid to proclaim what Jesus has done in their life. They weren't afraid to talk about it. Imagine if families and generations learned from each other, listened and shared their testimony of Christ. Victories of what past generations went through. What would the church look like? What would the church be battling if the generations learned how to pass on their faith, to continue to build unto the past generation what they built upon? What would it look like for generations pouring into each other, not being afraid of society, but leading society in ethics and morals? Would more families know Christ? Would more kids go to camp? Would church become a priority? Would the kingdom of God become a priority? We can make a difference. We can be a servant who multiply the mina that has been given to him or her. We can be the servant who added 5 more mina. What would your life look like if you waited, listened, and responded when the Holy Spirit tells you, share? Now. And so I want to conclude in this passage, in this way. And I want to reemphasize the fact that your testimony matters. We need to hear it. We need to know about it. Why? Because the pastor can't experience everything. God placed people in your life for a reason. And your testimony might be the key that actually brings them and draws them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe it's your words. Maybe it's your story. Maybe it's just something small. But it will draw someone to know how important it is to intermix what Christ does in our life. And so, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're like, hey, Abel, I'm just walked in, a friend invited me here. I just want to tell you right now, this is what Jesus did for my life. By saying yes into my life, He transformed the way I lived. Gave me hope when there was no hope. Gave me life where there was no life. When I wanted to end everything, the Lord came in and said, no, Abel, you actually have purpose. And I learned that my purpose is through my testimony. Sharing the testimony. You all have a beautiful testimony, an amazing one. Maybe you're thinking, well, Abel, I've been in the church my whole life. Good, we need to hear. How did you stay in Christ for that long? How did you walk in faithfulness that long? Share it with us. Talk to us about it. In the highways, in the byways. Because we need to know too. Faithful marriages, share us. Tell us, how did you have a faithful marriage for this long? Successful businesses, share. Tell us, how did you do that and still stay faithful in your ethics and morals? Teach us. And so with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you never accepted Jesus Christ into your life and you're like, Abel, I want that. I want to be guided by God. I want to be guided by the triune God. And if you are wanting that and you're wanting to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to have a boldness and raise your hand up. This is the same thing that helped me as a youth. When I came to realize, you know what, there is a God. And so if you're wanting to follow Jesus Christ, I want to open up that door. If you never asked Jesus into your life, or if this time you want to rededicate your life, I encourage you to raise up your hand and we would love to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. So with all heads bowed, eyes closed, we're going to pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in our life. Papa, that you have given us a testimony worth speaking about, worth talking about. Father, that you have transformed our story and made it into a testimony pointing to you. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would inspire these people, Lord God, to see and connect the dots of your words and your testimony and what you did in their life, that they may be able to translate it into words and action, Lord. So that when people see their life, that they would recognize there is a God and his name is Jesus. And so, Papa, I pray that you would fill them up with your Holy Spirit, that you would transform them. Father, I pray for those people that right now that are sitting and saying, you know what, Jesus, I raise my hand up. Lord, I recognize that you are the Alpha and the Omega. So, Father, I pray that whatever way that they're praying right now, if they're asking, Lord, I pray that you would come right into their hearts, transform the way they think, transform the way they act, transform the way they even think upon you. Father, that you would change the way they walk, talk, and eat, and act, everything. Father, that their family members and their friends will look at them and be like, what's new? And that they would be able to answer, Jesus came into my life. So, Father, I pray that you would go into their life, transform it, forgive them of their sins, and at the same time, Lord God, renew them and bring them with new life and write their name in the book of life. We thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless and have a great day.